This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. And I think Kaylin holds record for being the longest distance guest I've had ever on this podcast. I don't know ever if I had anyone from Chile before. And as you guys know, I am an admin assistant at a private school, and my secretary is Chilean. So I get the geographical lesson today. Geez, doing the podcast, you get the geographical lesson. But enough of me. I'm going, Kaylin, take it away and tell her story and let you guys enjoy.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me, and I'm glad you can learn something new, and and of course that I can be the first person that you interview from this far away. That's great.
Well, that's great. The power of technology. Now, what do you do as a day job?
Yes. So I'm a digital marketer and entrepreneur. I have been working independently for the past eight and a half years, I think, since I quit my job. And
eight and a half years.
Yes.
Good for you and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It was my very first job. I was like 24 when I started working after I went to university. And I liked my job. It was a job in human resources, but shortly after I started working, I realized I wanted a little more freedom in my life. I wanted to be able to travel more, to be the owner of my time and not having a fixed schedule and other people telling me what I can do, what I cannot do, getting up early, all of those things. I couldn't imagine myself doing that for the rest of my life. So the internet, social media really is what showed me that it was possible for pretty much anyone to work on the internet and make a career out of it. So that's what I've been doing. I've been learning and improving my skills, showing people how to start a business online based on their passion, monetizing their passion, and living life with more purpose.
Yeah, well, the power of social media and the power of media in general, I think we're living in the best times possible. I mean, 10 years ago, we didn't have things like Uber Conference and Twitter. And I come from the end of the AOL, You Got Mail generation. So you guys know what I'm talking about when I say You Got Mail. AOL, I come from the end of that. Now I was born in 87. Now I'm a millennial, but I sit on the older side of the millennial generation. The younger millennials don't even know what I'm talking about when I say You Got Mail and AOL. They're like, what? So, yeah. So, what is the... I wanted to ask you this before I get into my baseline questions. Where do you see digital marketing going within the next year? I mean, Twitter is going fast and furious. LinkedIn is now stepping up its game, how we met. I mean, you can do videos on LinkedIn for 10 minutes and video packs a punch. So, Kaylin, where do you see digital marketing going in the next year?
Yeah, absolutely. I have been witnessing so many changes over the past 10 years. I remember I joined LinkedIn and I joined Twitter and Facebook in 2008. So almost 11 years now. So I've seen the evolution of these sites, and it's crazy. Like, it's crazy what you can do today. I never thought it would become such an important part of our lives and our marketing, definitely. I think for a while, Twitter was almost becoming irrelevant, but now I find myself spending a lot more time on Twitter again than Facebook. Which is great. It's for me, it's my favorite place to discover new people, to follow what's going on in the world. Like, I love Twitter. It's probably my favorite. And what I love about LinkedIn, for example, is it's really stepping up their game, like you said. But it's still very underappreciated. There's so much opportunity there. The organic reach is so much better than Facebook or even Twitter, where there's a lot of noise, of course. So LinkedIn is a platform that I think a lot more people are going to start using again. I love the fact that we can post videos there. And whenever I post, for example, a clip from my podcast, it gets a lot more traction than it would on Facebook, unless, of course, I paid on Facebook to get it shown. And so Instagram, of course, is another platform where I spend a lot of time, and I also leverage it for branding and to get my message out there. And the cool thing about Instagram is that it's still good when it comes to organic reach. But as we know, it belongs to Facebook. So sooner or later, I think Facebook is gonna mess around.
The king of the world. No, and I got off Facebook. I have a smaller profile than I did. I am off Facebook. I mean, I'm giving that one out because I feel like it, after our political election, let's be honest, Facebook just went nuts. Everyone went bananas on Facebook about our political election, and then when they had the Cambridge Analytica thing, I'm like, I'm out of there. Thank you. Bye.
That's right.
Bye. I mean, bye. I had no other options. I was pushed. We were all pushed into a corner, and no one was seeing my post. No one was seeing any of my book posts. No one was seeing any of this podcast stuff that I do. And so I'm thinking that you're right, that Instagram is going to be coming like Facebook was. I mean, Instagram is common now, but in the next year or so, Instagram won't be common because they're owned by Facebook.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if you had to be educated by anyone, who would it be and why?
Well, I follow several entrepreneurs that I learn a lot from, just from their free content. Yeah. So yeah, I would say Tony Robbins and Gary Vaynerchuk are probably the people that I learn from the most. And I've been blessed to attend events and see them speaking live, and it's always such an amazing experience that, you know, if I could get one of them to coach me personally, that would be such a dream for me.
I am so trying to get Gary Vaynerchuk's voice on this podcast.
Oh, you will.
Am so trying, but I keep driving him nuts because I also follow him on Twitter, and I keep saying, can I interview you, and no one's gotten back to me yet. But I am so trying in 2019 to get Gary Vaynerchuk on this little podcast because I want to know his secrets to business. I would also like to know Tony Robinson's secrets to business, but I want to know why Gary Vaynerchuk is so, let's just say, bull in a china shop-ish. He's so out there, and he's so, let's just be rule breakers, and let's just be us.
Yeah.
Gary Vaynerchuk is where Tony Robbins is like, let's calm down, let's be normal people here. Gary Vaynerchuk and Tony Robbins are at two opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're all also legends in their own right. So I want Gary Vaynerchuk on this podcast So if anyone is listening who knows his team, please say, please put in a good one for both of us, because I think for your podcast, yeah, it would be a good one too. You would probably, you and I both would have our fangirl moments, because we've been sneakily following them on Twitter.
Well, I actually did what you did. I mean, I followed him for years, and I finally got to do an interview with him actually in 2016. I did an interview with him. I didn't have a podcast yet, but he said yes, because I said, okay, if I buy 50 books, he had just yeah. launched the book, could I be able to interview you for 10 minutes? And so he said yes. So I bought a bunch of his books, and then I got the interview. And then in 2018, when he was launching the last book, Crushing It, I contacted his assistant, and I got another interview. So you just have to keep insisting and really showing that you care, like really
okay.
interact with his content, that, retweet him.
That's what I'm going to do. It'll happen. So that's what I'm going to do. I think I have to, because Gary is a bigger fish in the marketing pond. I think I have to retweet his content, keep following him, and eventually it will happen, you guys, because, and then I can have my fangirl moment, and then you guys can join me in that fangirl moment. But what has been your biggest accomplishment in all this, Carolyn? What has been your Yahoo moment in all this? Was it starting your podcast? Was it quitting the 9-to-5? Was it, what has been your biggest accomplishment in life and all business?
That is a good question. Well, I think what definitely one of my biggest accomplishments for me has been being able to be independent. So, and beyond independent, but also being able to do more things, to travel more, to give back to other people. To do something that I enjoy, something that I love, that for me is already an accomplishment. And definitely the podcast was something I wanted to do for years. And then I finally started it. It's not where I want it to be yet. I need to be more consistent with it, but it was also something I really wanted to do. And on a more personal level too, you know, being able to have a business online has allowed me to spend more time with family, to help my family. Both of my parents are not working anymore, but they both had cancer, and I was able to help them with natural treatments and so that they wouldn't worry about the money. So that was very important for me too. And what else? Being able to speak as well at conferences, that was also another dream I had, even though I'm a very shy person. that I would say that's also an accomplishment.
Starting a podcast gets you over your shyness quickly, even though you're speaking to a microphone, it's out there for the world to hear. And yeah. I decided that I tried solo episodes. I finally got up the courage to do a solo podcast. This is not it, obviously, but I'm like, I can't do this without talking to people. So that's why I made my big show, Ask Win, my interview radio show, because I feel like I can talk to people. I mean, I can sell us to an Eskimo if you're not careful. But what is your biggest regret in life or business? Something that you look back on and you're like, oopsie, I didn't mean to do that.
That's a good question. I try not to regret things, but I guess there are things where I could have done better. For example, when I started on social media 10, 11 years ago, it was a little easier to get people's attention because it was less crowded. But I didn't dare to create a lot of content. I didn't dare to talk about myself too much because I felt like, oh, I don't want to seem like I'm full of myself or anything like that. And I've always tried to keep things like down to earth and not you know, be a person who thinks everything is about them. Because I saw so many people doing that, doing so much self-promotion all the time, and I didn't want to be like that. But now I regret it a little bit because it wasn't a bad thing as long as you had value to offer. And I think I did, and I didn't start making videos until maybe 2012 or 13, even though I was on YouTube since 2005. I didn't dare do create my own videos. So a lot of things I could have done better and more aggressively 5, 10 years ago, you know, that's probably one regret I have, because then I would have a much bigger audience. Probably I would be more successful if I had, you know, been a little more aggressive with my message.
Now, I know you're not in the U.S., but I don't know if you follow what's going on in the U.S. right now, but we're sitting in a government shutdown. So I want to ask you, I've been asking everyone's question right now, what would you say to those people who are working for the government and don't know whether they should switch jobs or just be patient and wait?
Yeah, I mean, I've read very little about what's going on. I mean, I know there's been some kind of shutdown and a lot of resources are on hold or something because of the wall.
Yes, the wall.
Yeah,
I won't even say the words. Crazy. Yeah, it's all because of the wall, and it's all because some person is being baby, and it's not me. And you guys can figure that one out. And I'm trying to not talk politics, but I wanted to know your perspective of digital marketing. Should we tell people to be patient, or should we tell people just to bite the bullet and go find a job on by themselves, or what?
Well, personally, I've never found it very attractive to work for a government, except if you know that you're doing something like for the social, for the community, for people. But you can still do that without working for a government. Like, you can still help. You can still help the world. You can still help your community without having to be involved directly with the government in any country, my country, US, anywhere. And I think it really depends on each person if they should be patient or not. I think patience is a virtue, especially today, where people want everything for tomorrow, for yesterday. They want everything fast. So yes, being patient is always a good thing. But I feel like government jobs can be very unstable, also because you only have a job for a certain amount of years, and then a new government comes in and usually they fire everybody. So I would definitely look for something else to do, whether it's another job or creating your own job, you know, leveraging, using the internet to create something for yourself, even if it's on the side. Maybe one day it becomes your main income stream. I don't know. I think the opportunity is out there for anyone who wants to take it. And the sooner, the better.
Yeah, the sooner, the better. Start a side hustle. Now, you guys, while you, and this goes for fellow workers too, if you have a talent that you've been dying to show off, why not start it while you're at home waiting on your job? Why not start a side hustle so then eventually you can back down from your day job and make your side hustle full-time income.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone can do it.
Yeah. So as we tie this interview up, do you have any questions for me?
Of course. I'd love to know what inspired you to start your podcast and who have been some of the most inspiring people you've interviewed?
Other than you, thank you so much.
Oh,
other
thank
than
you.
You, I just, yeah, no, I think Duncan to Solo Entrepreneurs and podcasters is coolest thing on earth. I don't want to say this, but I think that podcasters are better to talk to than my book authors, because my book authors are, how do I put this nicely? They're trying their hardest to promote themselves. Podcasters just have natural flow. I'm sorry, you guys, but the podcasting community just has the natural flow, and give us an hour, we can talk to anyone. I mean, Kellen, I don't know if you've noticed that too, but give a podcaster an hour, God, you get a lot out of them. So I'm sorry to my authors out there. I'm like, how do I put this? But the reason why I started this podcast is because I published a book, my original memoir, which has been out for 8 years now.
Wow.
So I Come Win is my original memoir. And I got the blessing from my biological mom when she was in a mentally induced coma to write that book. And I gave myself a year to write that book. And then I published that book. At the time, I didn't know what I was doing. At the time, I was so excited to publish a book that I didn't even type in the words how to publish a book to Google. I just made a nice pasta and threw it against the wall, so to speak, and it stuck. And then I'm like, oh boy, it's now sticking to a wall. And not only were my friends, my family, and complete strangers buying this book, everyone was buying I Come a Win. And
awesome.
People started asking me, what, how, what do you do? How do you deal with cerebral palsy so gracefully? And I'm like, uh-oh, now they open up the can of worms that I either have to shut, or I either have to come public with it. And I used to call my cerebral palsy the mixed bag cerebral palsy for so many years. Do you know I did not find out my official diagnosis? I knew I had CP since 87, but I didn't find out my official diagnosis until I was 31 years old.
Wow.
Believe it or not, I found that.
That's crazy.
I found that out by looking at a piece of paper for a psychology test I had to take, because I'm a trust fund baby, but I'll be working with that trust fund. You guys, I won't be sitting on a beach with that trust fund. And so I won't be sitting on a beach in Chile with that trust fund. And so I found that out by the psychologist. And I'm like, okay, this answers a lot of questions for me that my family had pushed under the rug. They told me that I had CP, and that was it. They didn't tell me the official diagnosis. And so that was after I wrote I Come a Win. That was after I did all this work on behalf of CP. And now I'm happy to tell you guys that I'm actually in the middle of publishing another book called Smile with Dictation, aka Simply Silly, on how I write books, because people want to know that, and how I write books, and how I do what I do. And so I'm finally listening to Fanbase, and it should be out in the middle of next week when it drops, because you guys will know, of course, my LinkedIn family will know, of course, the world will know. So just be patient on that. But that's how I started this podcast, because I wrote a book and people were asking me how I was dealing with cerebral palsy so gracefully at that time. And Seth is still asking me, how do you deal with cerebral palsy so gracefully?
Yeah, well, you do. I mean, it's the truth. So I think it's very inspiring for people.
Yeah,
what you've managed to do. Yeah.
I try to. I try.
You're doing well.
Yep, I try. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I certainly did. It was killing. And I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And where can people find you other than LinkedIn? Where can people go listen to your podcast? I didn't even know you had a podcast.
Oh, now you know. You'll have to listen.
I know. Now I do have to listen.
So yeah, so my podcast is called Beyond the Hustle. So you can go to beyondthehustle.com or look it up on iTunes, Spotify. It's in several platforms. And I only started it about a year ago. I have very few episodes, but there are a few really, really cool guests, including Gary Vaynerchuk and a few others. And maybe you'll be a guest soon. I'm going to contact you for that, for sure. And then my blog, it's Carolina Millan. It's spelled with double L. I guess you can put my name in the description. .net, Carolina Millan, double L, .net. That's my blog. And of course, I'm all over social media, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, same username everywhere, just my name and last name. I would love to connect with anybody who listened to this.
I would too. And come find us. We're all over social media. And as I said, when the book finally drops, I will let you guys know. I've been waiting. You guys have been patiently waiting for this book. I know you guys have, because eventually I had to listen to my fan base, which is hard for me to do. It's hard for me to do. So we'll see. I'll keep you guys updated, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Thanks to you guys. Bye.
Bye.